You want to make sure you go to the right place. Over heaven forever. What a blessing. God, in His all-wise providence, has seen fit in His wisdom to bless us to come together again, that we might endeavor to worship Him and encourage one another and sing glad songs. We are delighted that God has blessed us to come together today, that we might hear a word, sing songs of praise and of encouragement one to another. But there is coming a time when we will all stand before the great God of the universe and give an accounting of our living here on earth. And that accounting has to be absolutely, positively correct. Why so? Because He keeps a record on all of us. And our book will be open at the judgment. God created man in such a way that we are going to live, exist forever. Forever. You say we die. It simply means that we come out of this body that He gave us from the earth. And He has a keeping place, a holding place for us, when He calls us out of time into eternity, awaiting the day in which we refer to as the day of judgment, Revelation chapter 20, to give an accounting of the deeds done as to whether or not we're going to live forever with Him. Let me rephrase that. Whether or not some are going to live forever with Him, and some will live forever without Him. Not sleeping, but alert and feeling the pain of disobedience on planet Earth. Forever. We say the words, let us lay them to heart. Make your calling and election sure. Make your calling and election sure. When God calls, we must answer. And if we follow His instructions, according to His holy book, the Bible, we will be glad to hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, coming up, I'll make you ruler over many. Anybody here want to make heaven their eternal home? Amen to that. We heard some lovely singing this morning, and we're glad to see each and every one of you who have come this morning. Visitors, we trust that you will not make this your final visit. And you feel free to ask questions regarding what's taught here at this church. We don't mind, and I don't mind, questions being asked regarding what I preach. In Isaiah chapter 50. In Isaiah chapter 50. That's in the Old Testament. Feels good to be standing up here again. It's been a few Sundays since I've had the privilege Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, came to earth. And he went through a lot of difficulty and challenge and even the taking of his life. And he was innocent. Let us make sure that we spend time studying what the Word says and doing the same. Isaiah chapter 50, beginning with verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities. Isn't that something? For your iniquities have you sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea, make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh, because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. I clothe the heavens, isn't there something? With blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. This is Isaiah talking. He waketh morning by morning. He waketh mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine eye, has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. And I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. Did you hear that verse? Verse 5? So when you hear the truth, don't get angry. Get right. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old. Isn't that something? Shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you? There we are. These last two verses. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his word. Behold, all you that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, be careful. Walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that you have kindled. This shall you have of mine hand. You shall not lie down in sorrow. What to do? What to do when your lights go out? Don't you decide to light your own fire? What to do when there is trouble in your life? What you do to do in these difficult times in your life, it determines your spiritual development. How much have I studied the Word of God? How much time have I related to have a relationship with Him? How often do I fellowship with those of like precious faith? God asks a question. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? One of the signs of a mature child of God is what that individual does. Is what that individual does when the lights go out. Amen. You know, physically, when we hear about storms and lights going out among businesses, and how some people rush into some of the buildings and steal that which does not belong to them. Sad testimony. But God asked a question, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? One of the signs of a mature child of God is what that individual does when the lights go out. What that Christian does when there is trouble in his or her life. What do you do when things aren't going so well? What do you do when you can't make heads or tails onto what's going on in your life? Notice the darkness. God asks a question, and then He gives the answer. It is important for you to note, you can be a righteous servant of God and yet have times and have days where you walk in darkness, not able to see which way to go. There are times of despair, even by a faithful child of God. There are times of disappointment, times when nothing seems to make sense in my life. There may be times when God doesn't seem to make sense to a faithful child of His. Seem. And yet, you are still holding on to God's unchanging hand. But nothing seems to make sense. I'm holding on, but I don't see any light. I can't imagine what's going on. Why is this happening to me? There are days, perhaps, from time to time, that you can't make heads or tails of what's going on. Listen, being saved, being a Christian, being a child of God does not eliminate us from trouble. God sent His Son to the world, and guess what? Perfect. Perfect Son. But it didn't eliminate Him from trouble. Being saved does not eliminate problems. Being a child of God does not mean that there will not be times when God will let the lights go out in our lives. The Lord will have us to walk in darkness, having situations and circumstances occur that we don't really understand. The Christian life is not a life of all roses and cherries. Neither is it a life that is trouble-free. We should know that already, because Jesus had trouble and He's the perfect human being. The Christian life is not a life of all roses. Neither is it a life that is trouble-free. Some believe that being saved means evermore perfect health, happy family, a serene old age, and a glorious exit. That's dreaming. Christians do have problems. Some of you say, There are times when the Christian does not understand what's going on in his or her life. I'm endeavoring to do the will of God. I'm endeavoring to walk with Him. But nothing I do seems to work out. Who is among you? Notice the text. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his master? Do the right thing, and yet he or she walketh in darkness and hath no light. There are times, according to God's will, that you, as his obedient child, will walk in darkness. There are times when God designs or permits difficulties, trouble in your life. You remember a man by the name of Job, a man of God that even God himself bragged on. But read the book of Job sometime. Job found himself troubled, perplexed, and did not understand what was happening in his life. We can look back on his life and know what is going on, but he didn't have that privilege of knowing what was going on, of knowing about the meeting that the devil and God had. But that is not the case with us. We have no way of knowing the what or the when that we might have another meeting, if we haven't already had one, two or three, that we will have, that we don't ever know whether there will be another meeting or whether we'll have a meeting up with the devil. God knew, because God was the one that said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" God knew he could count on his servant Job. He knew that Job was reliable, dependable, and steadfast. Where are you going there, preacher? It's time for us to do some self-investigation. What does God think about my life, the way I live my life? Does he have the same attitude towards me that he had with Job? That I'm steadfast, he can count on me? To walk with him regardless of situations and regardless of circumstances. David, a man after God's own heart, he had trouble. The Apostle Paul, handpicked for the gospel and to be a gospel preacher and an apostle, handpicked by God, he had problems. 2 Corinthians in your Bible. Chapter 11 and verses 23, beginning with verse 23. Paul writes, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in strife above measure, in prisons more frequent, and even death threats." Verse 24. "Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, saving one. Three times was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned three times. I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day. I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in dangers of robbers, in dangers of mine own countrymen, in dangers of the heathen, in dangers of the city, in dangers in the wilderness, in danger in the sea. Danger, danger, danger all around me." It's what Paul is writing here. "Weariness, painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, fasting often, had to. No food, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of the churches." Does that sound like it's easy? Challenging? Even though Paul had all of that, even though Job had all of this, and I only talked a little bit about Job, he stayed the course. He remained steadfast. He remained faithful to God and one that God could depend upon. Where are we? Let us individually do some self-inspection. When we talk about these people here that we've talked about thus far, and the challenges they face, and still remain faithful, loyal, and steadfast. Do you know that there are some folk in the Church of Christ that will miss Bible class or miss night church just because I'm tired? Amen. Based upon what all of God has done and is still doing in their lives. Sunday morning, woohoo! Sunday night, boom! Bible class night. Anybody still in the, still awake? Paul says that I have problems, in weariness and painfulness and watchings often, in hunger and thirst, fasting often, in cold and nakedness. He says, beside those things that are without, I even had challenges checking on all the church and working with the congregations of the Lord's church. 2 Corinthians, for those of you taking notes, chapter 4, verses 7, 8, and 9. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Oh, yes. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Isn't that the way a child of God walks and talks? And that's the way a lot of folk who worship, pardon me, young people, but that's the way a lot of folk who worship here at this young here church, that's the way they think. That's the way you think and pray. And we thank God for you. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And for those of you taking notes, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 9, I think I just gave you that. There are individuals in this audience this morning, no doubt. You may be going through a dark night of the soul. That which is stressful, challenging. But you're here. You're here. Looking great. Like all is well in your world. But all is not well. And there's some things that's going on in your life that you don't understand. But you're holding on to God's unchanging hand. You believe with all of your heart that you love the Lord and that the Lord loves you. And you're striving with all of your being to be a loyal child of God. And yet, you're still having challenges. Perhaps the doctor's report, home problems, maybe job problems, problems with the children. And you've done the best you know how, based upon the Word of God. Yet there are things that's going on in your life that makes no sense. I don't know why this has happening to me. Sometimes you think that you're at your wit's end. And you ask the question, how do I handle these situations? What am I supposed to do? Listen carefully. Just because things don't make sense to you doesn't mean they don't make sense at all. You may be going through a dark night of the soul. But the God whom you serve and the God whom we serve, even though you may be in darkness, guess what? He's not. Our God can see in the dark just like it's daytime. Aren't you glad about that? Not only can he see in the darkness, he can see ways out of the darkness at his appointed time for us. Hold on. No matter what's going on in your life, hold on to God's unchanging hand. Just because you are experiencing a dark night of the soul does not mean that you will always be in the darkness. And that doesn't mean that God can't see you in the darkness and what you're going through. It may not be even in this world. But the time will come if we remain faithful, loyal, committed, and dedicated. If we remain faithful to God, loyal to His calling, we will understand what the Father is doing and has done and what did do by and by after a while. He is doing at that time or at this time in our life as He sees fit, because He wants all of us to make heaven our eternal home of abode. He wants us to come and live with He and His Son. God does not want us to always walk in the sunlight. There are times when God wants us to walk in the darkness, to have some challenges in our lives, and we'll see why He allowed it to happen. You see, you don't get muscles. You can't get muscles like this. See that? You can't get muscles like this just walking around looking. It takes effort lifting those bars. You can't get stamina to keep marching doggedly on, sitting at the dinner table all the time. Anybody know what I'm talking about? One day, we will understand it better by and by. What we can say today in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, hold to God's unchanging hand. Just because you may be experiencing a dark night of the soul, that does not mean you will always be in the darkness. There's a reason for it. God does not want us to always walk in the sunlight. There are times when God wants us to walk in the dark, to have some challenges, to have some difficulties. And we'll see and understand it better by and by. I want you to know, church, it's all part of God's plan, strengthening us and helping us to walk the trail so that He can say to us when the events of Revelation chapter 20 takes place, well done, a good and faithful servant. There are times when God wants us to walk in the dark, to have some difficulties in our lives, and we'll see why by and by and after a while at His appointed time. But understand, no matter what you go through, we know that God still loves you. He still loves us. Because, you know, when did He have His Son to die? When did He have His Son to die? And who put Him on the cross? He had His Son to die when humanity was still buried in sin. Even to His own begotten Son that He had sent to earth to help Him, help us. You know about the little girl. And for those of you taking notes, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are what? Are over the righteous. And His ears are what? Open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. God, as we wrap this up, God doesn't need the light to see. God can see in the light just like it's daytime. We can't see in the dark, but God can see in the dark. And there will be times, and perhaps you already know this, that we will walk in the dark. And we won't understand what's going on in our lives. There are times in our lives when the darkness will be so dark that all we can say is, oh God, I know you're there. I know that you can see in the dark. But that is exactly where He wants us sometimes. Not all the time. Look at the text. Behold, all you that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and the sparks that you have kindled. This shall you have of mine hand, you shall lie down in sorrow. When the lights go out in your life, when there is trouble, difficulty, and challenge in your life, we are all tempted to light our own fire. I'm going to do something about her. I'm going to do something about him. You just wait till I see. When the lights go out in your life, when there is trouble, when there is difficulty, when there is challenge in your life, we're all tempted to light our own fire. We want to come up with our own solutions. I'm going to get you. What do we do? Children out of wedlock because I'm getting old, getting on in years, shacking up, doing things that I know is contrary to the will of God. You know that you're walking in darkness. You should expect this. But when you know that by the grace of God, He is blessing you to walk in the light. Blessing you to walk in the light. Yet, things aren't going well. Nothing seems to be going well. You pray. You've been praying. And it seems like things are going along the same way they've been going. We are tempted at sometimes when things are not going well for over a period of time. We want to light our own fire. No matter what God says. The only way for darkness to come in, light must be withdrawn. Where there is light, it does not matter that we open the doors at night or not. For darkness to come in, into your life, if you're walking with the Lord. If you are walking with the Lord, God has withdrawn His light for a season. Listen carefully. He has withdrawn His light for a season for a reason. That He's allowing you to go through this dark night or this dark period in your lives. And we see constantly, the Old Testament and the New Testament, that God has done that. Job often comes to mind. What happened in the life of Job? Oh, we don't want to go there. That's a whole other subject. Just keep trusting. The Bible that I read says, be you what? Steadfast, unmovable, always abiding in the work of the Lord. Why? For as much that you know that your labor is not in vain. Don't jump up and start doing foolish things just because you're going through a dark night of the soul for a season. You won't always go through a dark night of the soul. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Well, I tell you, Brother Ryan, I'm single and I'm 32 years old. And I'd like to be married and the time is marching on. So I'm not being so careful. I'm not being so critical now. Or perhaps facing some other challenges. Don't light your own fire. Some things can be better seen in the darkness. Stars don't disappear in the daytime, but they're better seen when? In the nighttime. Here is what you do. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light. What's the answer? Listen carefully. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon God. What is that verse saying? Just keep trusting and leaning on God's everlasting arms. Did you hear that? Romans, for those of you taking notes, Romans 8:28. You know it from memory. And we know that all things work together. Are you listening? For good to them that what? Love the Lord, and to them who are the called according to his purpose. There are times for the human being when things going on make no sense at all in your life. So it was with Job. Job didn't know what was going on, but he stayed trusting in the Lord. So my recommendation to you this morning, hold to God's unchanging hand. Set the table. Get your knife. Get your fork. Sit down. And wait on God to do his thing. Even in the darkness, wait on God. He's always on, he's never late. He's always on time. And would you believe? He knows how to walk in the darkness. Doesn't have to be a light. He can see in the dark. Just like it's broad daylight. The Bible says in John chapter 8 and verse 12, then S-P-A-R-S-P-A-K, then that spark, isn't it? I hope I didn't misspell it. Then spake Jesus again unto his apostles, saying, I am who? The light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. That's sharing with us that you just stay with me. You won't always walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Don't quit. Keep trusting. Our Savior Jesus Christ, even though he prayed, he just kept trusting in his Father. And guess what? In 3 days, he got up again. The enemy thought they did something when they killed him 3 days ago. He was only there 3 days and he got up. That's not all. He got up never to go back again. Never to die again. Keep trusting and rise with God, who has all blessings for humanity in his hand. In Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 10, for those of you taking notes, who is among you that feareth the Lord and obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Another way of saying the same thing, keep holding on to God's unchanging hand. You don't quit because you're going through something. Because you're having some challenges in your life. What biblical character do we read about in the Bible that served God that had no challenges in their life? And then what happened? Also, God sent his son to the world to die for our sins. And guess what? We didn't thank him. Humans. What did we do? We killed him. God, knowing everything, knew it was going to happen. He already had it set and fixed and prepared to take care of that event. He died in our stead that we might have life and have it everlastingly. Ain't that good news? You want to make heaven your eternal home of abode? The apostles that Jesus chose. 12 apostles. Matthias took Judas's place. So God, he still had 12 apostles. When the gospel began to be preached for the very first time on planet Earth, in your Bible, in the book of Acts, chapter 2. Apostles was endowed with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak as the Holy Spirit gave them the words from glory. The apostles continued their preaching during their lifetime by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, when we get outside of what the apostles preached, how do you know that that's what God will accept? Because Jesus told his apostles, don't go and preach anywhere until you get until you receive the Holy Spirit. So he wanted them to be careful about what they taught. So if the apostles didn't teach it, it's not from heaven. Bottom line. The apostles preached first gospel sermon in your Bible in Acts chapter 2. Peter became the chief spokesman in verse 15 of Acts chapter 2. Then Peter got to a point where he says, that Jesus that y'all created 50 days ago, that was Jesus. You killed the one that you've been looking for and your parents have been looking for. You killed him. They were shocked. They interrupted Peter in his message. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Isn't that a good time for Peter to tell them, just pray and ask God to forgive you of your sins? The apostles never told a sinner to pray and ask God for forgiveness of his or her sin. What must we do? Peter, the preacher, principal preacher, said, repent. And the next verse. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission or for the forgiveness of your sins, and God will add you to his church. Then they that gladly received the gospel, that day about 3,000 people heard the word of God and were baptized following Peter's information. And they were added to the church. The church of Christ. Because Peter and the apostles had preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. They preached that gospel. Folk heard that gospel, believed that gospel, and obeyed that gospel, and were baptized, and God added them to the church of Christ. I don't read about it in my Bible where God ever added anybody to a church other than saved them and then added them to his church. And this is the book we're going to be judged out of. Why do you take chances with your soul? And you say that you love other people and you're following them, their example. If you love them, why not obey the gospel and talk to them that they might be saved? Yes, preacher. I never heard that before. You don't have to heard it. Just read it. Read it. I'm preaching it because I can read it. And I'm glad to be able to share it with others. Because Jesus told his apostles, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Yes, so he wants everybody to know about his word, and the devil wants everybody to hear about his word. They heard the gospel. They believed the gospel. They repented of their sins. They acknowledged Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and they were buried in water baptism for the remission, for the forgiveness of their sins. And the Bible says the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. Hear the word. Believe the word of God as it's written. Be godly sorrowful for the sins that you have committed. Acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and be buried in water baptism for the forgiveness of your sins, and God adds you. You can't join the Church of Christ. God adds you to the Church of Christ when you follow his instructions. You make your own choice. You make your own choice. You've been told any church will do. Well, you decide whether you want to believe that person or believe what's in the Bible. All churches belong to Jesus. Decide you want to hear that, believe that person or what's in the Bible. The Bible says one Lord, one faith, one baptism. What I must preach is the same thing Peter must preach. And anybody that preaches, any man that preaches should preach what's in the Bible. And you can read it for yourself. Believe it or not, even though you want me to say, let's stand and sing the song of invitation, we're going to do that. We're going to do that. This is not the time to get angry. This is the time to get right. Because if you get angry, you don't know what you're getting angry over. And if you get angry, that means that you don't know the scriptures. So why get angry and let everybody know you don't know the scriptures? Why not get it right and let everybody know that you're even doing what the Bible says? But the one you want to please most of all is to please God in heaven. Well, that's your choice. You're here and you're already a member of the Church of Christ, but you are sometime. You've decided how you want to serve the Lord. That won't get you to heaven. That's displeasing to God. Be ready to every good work. But you are going to decide, well, I think I just go there just when it's convenient for me to go. We don't read about anything that Jesus did in the coming because it was convenient. He knew what it would be like. Challenging. If you're going to follow Jesus, there will be some challenges in your life. May God bless you to make a choice that pleases God. As we together stand and sing the song that's been selected.
Time is filled with swift transition. Not earth and moon shall stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. To God's unchanging hand, why don't you hold? To God's unchanging hand, brother, won't you hold to his. To God.